Len, it's tournament time here in the Chicagoland area, and we've had some tournaments from different organizations already this week. The Illinois PGA Section Championship was played Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Medina on course number one. And to nobody's surprise, I would say, at the end, Mike Small came out on top for the 13th time in the Section Championship. And in addition, we also had the first real big tournament run by the Chicago District Golf Association, the CDGA, running their state mid-am championship this year. So those two tournaments, of course, are already in the books this week. But the BMW championship at Olympia Fields is now underway. Even though there's no fans there, there's no prominent media there, there's not a lot of anybody there, realistically. It's being conducted in a bubble. And even though they're in town, you'd almost never know it.
What's really interesting about the BMW this year is that the FedEx Cup field is quite a bit different because of a lot of players got into this FedEx Cup playoff series who were young kids coming up. They've beaten out some of the more established players. Now, you look at the leaderboard after round one. In the top five, you have Tyler Duncan, Mackenzie Hughes, Harry Higgs. A little further, you have Sebastian Munoz, Lato Griffin, Carlos Ortiz, Mark Hubbard. You know, you've got names here of players who are contending. On the one hand, it shows how deep pro golf is, but on the other hand, it's skewered the FedEx Cup roster of players because you've gotten a lot of young players who really don't have much name recognition. No discredit to them. They're playing very well, but it's hardly become, at least this early on, a big-name event. Now, there are, of course, top stars like Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson and Hideki Matsuyama. I consider him a very good player from Japan. But, you know, the field isn't what you would expect in a normal FedEx Cup playoff run.
Well, Len, it'll be interesting to see how this week shakes out and who actually advances to the Tour Championship in Atlanta next week. But in the meantime, there is some questions in regards to, first off, why did Webb Simpson elect to pull out? And he said he wanted to rest up for the Tour Championship, and obviously his position was safe regarding whether or not he played in Chicago this week. But, you know, you wonder about the playoff format a little bit when guys can skip a week, and, you know, it would almost be like playoffs in professional sports. Well, we got the top seed, so we get to sit out the first round, and we'll see you next round. You know, you almost wonder why the tour doesn't make people play every week to prove they should advance instead of just figuring they're going to make it.
Yeah, I was surprised, really, with Webb Simpson doing that. Now, back when the FedEx playoffs consisted of four tournaments, I thought it was somewhat understandable for a player to take a break if he felt he needed it to be prepared for the last tournament. I wasn't, you know, the money in these tournaments is so much more than it is in a regular tour event. You got to really wonder. It can't be easy to sit out a tournament. But then there were four tournaments, and they could play in three of them and make a lot of money in the third. Maybe it was a gamble to wanting to take a week off just so that they could come in more rested for the next time around. But now that the FedEx Cup playoff is only three tournaments, I find it really hard to imagine players like Webb. Webb is a very top player, and he'll be in the final 30. But it's very hard to imagine why they would want to skip one of just a three-tournament series, given the money that's on the line and the prestige of the FedEx Cup title. So we'll see how it plays out for Webb, but I thought it was a very strange decision on his part. Maybe there was more to it than we don't know about.
Cedar And I don't know if they actually call themselves a resort. It may be considered a lodge. Mm-hmm. But they're getting ready to open the Payne's Valley course next month officially. There's been some limited, some of the holes have been open for preview play. But to open the golf course designed by Tiger Woods and his design team, they're going to have a special match out there. Tiger Woods is going to team up with Justin Thomas in a match against Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose. I don't know, you know, maybe a little two-on-two here, something like what we saw down in Florida early in the year before the tour restarted after the COVID break. But it will be interesting to see how that works out on September 22nd. And I wonder if people will be allowed to go out there and watch it. I'm assuming it'll be a made-for-TV type deal. But it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, what they're doing, if they're raising money or they're just realistically doing some kind of a promotional thing to promote the opening of the new golf course. And I have seen the new golf course. When I was there, realistically, about 14 holes were completed and somewhat grassed in. But some of the closing holes and a 19th hole that was added are cut out of the rocks, and it's gorgeous, finishing holes. And as people know, I'm not always Tiger Woods' biggest supporter, but he was on property numerous times working on this golf course. And I do tip the cap to him, because there's been, as you well know, far too many players, tour players, that put their name on a golf design, and they're realistically never there. They go out once, they walk around, they talk to an architect one day, and they come back to hit a ceremonial tee shot and just collect a big paycheck and move on to another day.
Well, you know, this was a strange one. It seemed to me like it took forever for this course to get built. Ozarks National was right there, and it didn't take a Coeur Crenshaw course, very good course, right next to it, and it didn't take so long. They must have had some kind of trouble in construction with it. That's all I can figure, because I know that it's going to be a good course. And I tell you this, to their credit, I think that opening the event with an event like with a kind of an actual match, 2-2 versus 2 match, it's very promotable. I hope that maybe that this one will be, you know, it's a month away. I hope that they are able to make it more of a spectator attraction, because otherwise, I mean, it's nice that golf is on TV, but right now they're just TV shows. We're still not back to where we really ought to be yet, and I can't imagine why that would have to be the case with this upcoming event, because they can just limit the number of spectators and you'd have an actual gallery following four players around. I hope that they can do that. The course, I think, will be well received. It sure looked good. I was there as well. I couldn't play it when I was there. When I was there the last time I was in the Branson area, the idea was to see the opening of to participate in the opening of Ozark National, which is a good place. And there's a lot of good courses in that area. I particularly like Buffalo Ridge, which has been there for a while. So we'll see what happens with this thing. Again, I'm interested, right at this point, I'm more interested in whether the spectators will be there to see what this course looks like. We'll see what happens.
And then the Champions Tour played back-to-back events at Big Cedar. And Phil Mickelson was eliminated from the playoffs this week at Olympia Fields and down in Atlanta, Georgia, for the Tour Championship. And he went out and played in a Champions Tour event, and here to no surprise, probably, he won, and right away.
Yeah, won by 4 shots. I mean, he'll be a great I don't think his time's going to come on the Champions Tour for a while. He may make an occasional appearance, yet, you know, he obviously is still very competitive and I'm sure wants to compete on the big tour. But that was that gave the Branson another big Cedar, another big boost to have him play in their tournament. I think I felt for a while now that while that area has been a long time host for Champions Tour events, it can't be that far off till they get a PGA Tour stop there of some sort. It's too good of a golf area now. The way they're building courses and the other courses that they have there, It's one of the primary golf facilities we've visited in the recent years. It's a great place.
Speaking of building courses, I've had an opportunity to spend a couple days out during golf course restoration projects and take a look at some pre-planning. A couple of weeks ago, I was at Park Ridge with Greg Martin, who's out there doing work on the Park Ridge Country Club in advance of the Women's Western Amateur National Amateur Championship next July. And then yesterday, I golfed Settlers Hill out in Batavia with Greg and took a look at his plans to actually renovate that golf course. And there is work that's going to start on the property this fall that will not impact play at all. However, the golf course will be closed all of next year. They're going to turn the current first hole into the 18th hole. The clubhouse will move out behind what's currently the second tee box, which will become the first hole, and so forth, going around the golf course. Two of the par threes are going to be relocated. Greg came up with a magnificent idea on the current par three seventh to, it's a real nondescriptive hole. However, just to the right of the tee box, there's a wooded area with a creek that kind of runs through part of that area. And Greg is going to incorporate that hole into the woods, so to speak. It'll be a hole where you not only got to bring your clubs, but you'll want to bring your camera, too. It's going to be approximately 140-yard par 3 over a creek through a wooded area. It'll be very scenic. And then on the backside, he's moving the tees from a real flat par 5 up to a nearby hilly area so that the tee shot will be, it'll be about a 70 to 80 foot drop down to the fairway. And with the removal of some trees and some brush, it'll be a tee shot hit from one of the highest spots out in Kane County. And people will be able to see for miles up on the tee box. So I'm sure the wind will come into play when they build it. But at the same time, what he's going to do at that golf course, in addition to adding a three-hole junior short course and the new range that's going to get built, the new clubhouse that's going to get built, the current clubhouse barn will be turned into a place for dinners after outings or special events, weddings type things. And it'll be a complete property, and you really got to tip the cap and the golf visor to the Kane County Forest Preserve District for their vision and also to the plan that Greg Martin has created to redo the property.
Well, Greg has long been a very quality architect. I mean, he's done just wonderful work all around the Chicago area. But, you know, Settlers, that property is very promising, for a lot of creativity on his part. I think that when all is said and done, I think we're going to find a much different golf course there. I've played it a few times, but it's a type of property where I felt like lots of things could be done to it. And I'm sure Greg knows what he's doing. He's really good. But I think that has got, I think we're going to see basically a brand new golf course, and I think it's going to be a one that everybody's going to want to play once they get a little taste for what Greg's doing there.
Well, for people that have enjoyed some of his recent area projects that included Wedgewood in Joliet, the Preserve at Oak Meadows, Arrowhead in Wheaton, Fox Run at Elk Grove, the Wilmette Golf Club in Wilmette, there's good news because maybe by the end of next year, the work will start at the two Park District courses, Naperbrook, Springbrook, over in Naperville, that Greg is going to do, in addition to the fact that beyond that, the nine-hole Pottawatomie Woods course out there is going to get redone by Greg Martin as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he comes up with for all of these golf courses. But it's also good to know that he will be staying busy. And it wouldn't surprise me, just my opinion here, but it sort of sounds like once the clubhouse gets opened at Oak Meadows over there, the Preserve at Oak Meadows, part of the DuPage County Forest Preserve District, they may start to have Greg look at their other two golf courses that include Maple Meadows and Green Meadows. So those projects aren't anything that's going to happen this year or next year, But who knows, maybe by 22 or 23, the Forest Preserve District will look to making improvements at those two golf courses as well.
Yeah, sooner or later, we've got to have a Greg Martin golf trail, or we've got to have a course, the Greg Martin Golf Links, his name on one of these courses. He's just done too much good work, and I'm glad to see it. He's a Chicago guy, and he's giving his time in the Chicago area because his work is a big boon to golf in the Chicago market.
Len, we touched on it at the start of the podcast, but the beginning of the week, we had the Illinois PGA Section Championship at Medina on course number one, and here's a surprise. Mike Small won again. Geez, only the 13th time, as noted golf writer said, Tim Cronin said they ought to put a chef's hat on him because he's earned the baker's dozen. But Mike really had to fight for it. He was not in the lead after the first day. He came back the second day, really got it in gear, setting a course record, a competitive course record of 63. And then had to hold off challenges from two pros at Mistwood Golf Club, both Frank Hohenadel and Andy Michelson.
You never rule out Mike Small out of any tournament, but especially PGA stuff. Now, it's got to be a frustrating time for Mike, so I'm glad that he's having success in playing, because he'd won the Illinois PGA Senior just the week before he won the section. But, you know, his situation with the college team is got to be frustrating, not knowing when his team is going to fight in line and when they're going to play again. I mean, it's the same for all the college coaches. At least Mike has a chance to play. It probably is a good outlet for him, if nothing else. He's always been a good player, and he'll be a good player for years to come. But, boy, coaching is his real career now. And it's got to be frustrating to have a good team, always have a good team, and not be able to put them out in competition.
Well, the Illinois PGA is really ramping up here for a stretch drive here in the next 6-7 weeks. Not only do they have the section championship this week, but their Illinois PGA online auction is now up and running for yet another week. IPGA.com, if you'd like to check that out. Birdies for Charity by their 32 golf pros that are going to be participating this year comes up the day after Labor Day at River Forest Country Club. I spoke to their head pro, Chris Gumbach, this morning, and he filled us in on all the details, and we'll have some of that on Golfers on Golf Radio and the following Saturday as well, some comments from Chris. And at the same time, then it'll only be about a week or so later, and the Illinois PGA match play will be coming up as and then 3 weeks later, at the beginning of October, the Illinois PGA Players Championship comes up from Conway Farms. So it's going to be a real exciting finish to the year, you know, with some of these majors all bunched together.
Well, you know, I really think the Illinois PGA did a good thing here in making their season-ending Players Championship. They've converted that to an invitational of sorts this year. They're taking the top 35, I believe the number is, on the Bernardi point list. Having them they will play in the Players Championship, and that'll create some great drama for Player of the Year race, and you'll have the strongest, probably that would theoretically be the strongest field of the season. So I think that's really one very positive thing that came out of the pandemic golf-wise, and I also have a feeling that we'll see how it works out. But I have a feeling that moving the match play later in the season is a good idea as well, because it was very early in the year. You always been held in May, and then there was a big gap there between that and the Illinois Open. In a way, having the match play early was kind of a kickoff to the tournament season in Chicago, but it might have been maybe a little too early. That tournament might work out a little better later in the year, like it's going to be this year, and we'll see how it goes. It's going to make for a much bigger splash finish to the Chicago season than we've usually had, because we also have the Evan Scholars Invitational coming. So we're not done with pro golf by any means. A lot of good things coming up.
A couple of interesting topics from our press sessions with Illinois golf coach Mike Small, who told us that the money's already in place and they are getting ready to do a $2 million set of improvements to the practice facility, which is pretty darn good already. And then there's some other things to get put in place, but I think we can expect an announcement from the University of Illinois before too long that they're starting to bring the pieces of the puzzle of the $5 million of improvements they want to put in to the new University Adkins golf facility at the University of Illinois. So we'll stay plugged in for that one. And there seems to be good news coming from the south suburbs. You know, earlier this year when I was at the Women's Western Golf Association, I found out that Prestwick Golf Club down there had filled its membership availability. They had sold their last membership, and the board was getting ready to discuss a waiting list for members. And then in talking to George Goich, the one of the new owners at the Flossmoor Country Club, said that when he and his brother bought the club last year, it was down to 89 members, and as of last week, they're back up to 162. So membership at some of the South suburban private clubs that have been struggling for years seems to be a little bit on a rebound.
Yeah, you know, that area, there were so many good clubs in such a condensed area, Olympia, Idlewild, Glossmoor, Ravislow. You know, for years and years, that was a great area for golf, and that it was so hard, I think, to keep it for all those clubs to function. And, I mean, there's just a few miles apart. But, yeah, I'm really happy to hear about Flossmoor having success in rebounding. That was always one of my favorite clubs out in the south suburbs. Not that I got out there, but I lived on the other side of the area like you do. But it was a club, a place that was really a fun place to go and have a lot of fun playing. So I'm glad things are going well for them.
Len, in the limited time we have left, give us a quick update. You were down to see our friends at the French Lick Resort before you headed back down south to Florida.
That was an interesting stop there that I should point out to people, and it really isn't so much on the golf side. We wanted to just visit with some friends there, Dave Harner and Brendan Sweeney, and we stayed a couple days and before finishing our drive back here to Florida. But this last trip we made has been very interesting from the standpoint of what it's like to travel in these somewhat precarious times. We found French Lick was the most conscious of pandemic concerns of all the places we went. And most of them did do pretty well, other than Georgia, one location in Georgia, which didn't seem to think there was any disease out there at all. But we were in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Ohio, and Michigan before we got to French Lick. And French Lick the golf was fine. The golf never closed over there. Dave Harner tells me it never closed. And everything went well there. But they were taking your temperature every day if you're a hotel guest. Every single day you were there, they had everything was now up and running. And it looked beautiful. Everything looked as good as it ever has at French Lick. It was just great. It was good to see also that they were conscious of the seriousness of the pandemic, that they just didn't take it lightly. They were by far the most conscientious area of all those that we visited as far as dealing with the pandemic concerns.
That's probably what you get when the ownership group is involved in the medical industry and medical research. Yep. Anyway, great catching up, and we'll look forward to talking more next week. I know I'm enjoying the fact that both the baseball teams are out of town, and there's some time to get out and play golf. So if we can find a tee time during these busy times, that not only are courses selling a lot of tee times, manufacturers apparently selling a lot of golf clubs. Last month, July, was a record for golf equipment sales in the history of such things, as long as those type of numbers have been tracked, and that was good to hear as well. So enjoy Florida, and we'll talk to you next week.